Today, we'll talk about alternatives to the often expensive dessert parties. That's coming up on this episode 113 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 113. So today we are going to talk about the dessert parties that are available at Disney World, and also I'm going to give alternatives to those because I'm starting to think they're getting a little bit expensive, and so I want to give you some other ways you might want to spend your money and get a similar experience. So we will dive into that in just a minute. Before we do, as always, I do want to remind you to follow me on social media. You can always find me at WDW Prep School on all of those accounts. But I also want to take a second to answer a question that I get asked a lot. And that question is, what Disney podcast do you recommend? I think people, they may listen to this podcast and they run out of new episodes. So they say, okay, now what should I listen to? Or you may have heard me say that I love podcasts so much and that's why I started one. So a lot of people want to know from my point of view, which Disney podcast they should listen to. And the answer is not going to be very fulfilling. And because the answer is I don't. I used to read a lot of Disney websites. I used to listen to a lot of Disney podcasts, but I have stopped doing that because I find that a lot of Disney podcasters and websites often will imitate each other, and I just wanted to cut all of that off. And so all the content that I consume, and there's a lot of it because I'm an internet and podcasting freak, is outside of the Disney niche. And so I get lots of ideas outside of the Disney niche that I can apply to what I'm doing. So for instance, I have mentioned before that Aisha Tyler has a podcast, and at the end of the year, she does an episode where she answers questions. Normally she interviews people, but at the end of the year, she answers questions that are about her and not necessarily the normal format. And so I decided that'd be a great thing for me to do because sometimes people ask me questions too, like about running businesses and how to start a podcast and that kind of stuff. So that was an idea that I got from her, but if I stayed in the Disney niche, I probably wouldn't have thought to do that. So anyway, that's not a very satisfying answer, but that is the truth. People, a lot of my friends do listen to Disney podcasts, and so they will sometimes point out individual episodes or segments that they think I should hear. So I will go check those out. But in general, my iTunes podcast app doesn't have any subscriptions to other Disney podcasts. And incidentally, since I brought it up, you can submit your question for the end of the year show if you have a non-Disney question or not a planning strategy type of question. You can submit that through SpeakPipe, and the information on how to do that is always in the show notes, and I will put those together in December for a final end of the year show. So feel free to do that. Anyway, so let's start talking about today's topic. So recently, Disney created yet another dessert party, and it's called the Fairy Tale Wishes Cruise Dessert Party. I forget. I have the name written down here somewhere. But it's basically a new way to watch fireworks while eating desserts, and it's very expensive. And someone just did a guest review on the website, which I'll link to in the show notes. But the prices keep going up, and the perks aren't necessarily worth it, I don't think. And so I just wanted to give you some ideas today about other things you might want to do to spend your money on. I actually am getting to the point where every time they come up with these new things, like new parties and new things that you can add on, I don't think first-timers should do any of it. And I almost think that about the Halloween and Christmas parties as well, because they have been selling out and they're like reducing the perks, selling out. And so the benefit of doing it is gone for a lot of people. So I think for first-timers, in order to get the best bang for the buck, that just avoiding all the extra sort of parties and events almost is, I'm not quite ready to say that definitively, but I almost feel like it because I can't in good faith recommend it. But if people have been before and they're looking for new experiences, then I can understand that being on the list. I mean, that's what I do. Every single time I try to do something new. So I sort of do love that there are so many options for that reason. But if I'm talking to a first timer who wants to know what they should do, I'm probably going to suggest not doing the extras because it's just not worth it when you have so many other things that you can do. So there are a few different dessert party options. Let's start at the Magic Kingdom. And the thing I was just mentioning, trying to remember the name of, is called the Fairytale Wishes Dessert Party. And it is $99 for adults. And basically what happens is there's a ferry that takes normally, you know, during the daytime, it takes people from the Ticket and Transportation Center, which is where you have to go if you drive your car to Magic Kingdom, over across the water to Magic Kingdom. And it's just a method of transportation, a mode of transportation between there and the Magic Kingdom all day. But now what they're doing is at night, a few nights a week, they're offering this Fairytale Wishes dessert party. And so it's sort of a portion of the ferry, and there's obviously desserts involved, and there's alcoholic drinks, and you get to see the fireworks. And at $99 a pop, it's not cheap, and it's actually not super kid-friendly. And so I'll link to the review that someone just wrote because it was very fair in sort of assessing, you know, whether or not it was worth it. But for that kind of money, you could do so many other things. My favorite happens to be Garden Grill, which is a restaurant at the Contemporary. It's a place my son has said we have to eat every time because he loves the food. He doesn't care about fireworks, but they actually have a viewing area just for fireworks. You go out on like their like deck balcony area just outside of the restaurant, and you have not that many people there with you. The music is piped in, and it's my favorite view I've ever had of the Wishes fireworks. And so my suggestion would be to do that. So you can get the food at Garden Grill and you can just walk out. You won't have, you know, lots of people there. It's a far superior experience and should cost a lot less money. Another dessert party option at Magic Kingdom is the Wishes Fireworks Dessert Party. It used to be called the Tomorrowland Terrace Dessert Party, but in July, they changed the name and nearly doubled the price for it. So I guess that they decided to give it a new name. But it does take place at the Tomorrowland Terrace Restaurant, which is in Magic Kingdom. And I used to love this dessert party when it was a lot less expensive. It's currently $49 for adults and $29 for kids. It used to be in the 20s, I think, even for adults. And so when our family of four did it, we really loved it. And it was easy to recommend at that price point. However, now that the prices have gone up so much, it's a little bit more difficult to recommend. Some people don't like it because it's an off-center view of the fireworks. I like it because you get a table to sit at and don't have to compete with the crowds for a place. But anyway, there's pros and cons to that. But now that it's more expensive, it's just much harder to recommend. They also do offer this during the parties, like during the Halloween party, you can book this dessert party, which also gives, they also include like parade viewing and stuff like that. But I could go on an entire tangent about parties within parties. They are my least favorite thing in the whole world because you're paying for two things and not being able to do them. But anyway, I'm going slightly off topic here. But the dessert parties that take place at Tomorrowland Terrace Restaurant are okay. I just can't wholeheartedly recommend them. But you may consider other ways, including just trying to catch the parade, you know, like a normal person in a, you know, good viewing spot. Or you might also consider doing something like the Pirate and Pals cruise, which takes place, you go to the Contemporary and there's candy there and they have the character, the pirates and stuff on the ship. And not too many people are on the boat with you. And I believe that they get better positioning for fireworks than the Fairytale Wishes dessert party does. And so, and that runs $69 for adults and $41 for kids. So it's just a better experience. I think the Pirate and Pals is a better experience than either of the other dessert parties that I mentioned earlier. So anyway, so if we're recapping the Magic Kingdom options here, my favorites happen to be Garden Grill or Pirate and Pals Voyage. Aside from Garden Grill, there are other restaurants that you might want to consider. along the water there. So there's Ohana at the Polynesian, and then you could go to the Grand Floridian as well. So there are multiple restaurants. Garden Grill just happens to have its own viewing area with a fantastic, it's my favorite place. So over at Epcot, they have an Illumination Sparkling Dessert Party. And like the dessert party at Magic Kingdom, it is $49 for adults and $29 for kids. However, this one has alcohol included, whereas the Magic Kingdom one does not, but it doesn't have seats and chairs like the one at Magic Kingdom. So you have to stand, but you have alcohol at Epcot. Now, the reason I don't like this, first of all, having to stand throughout the entire party is not appealing to me, but also Illuminations, it's so easy to find a place to sit for Illuminations because it takes place right there in the World Showcase, and there are just lots of places to choose from. You can also, outside of that, you can make a reservation at a restaurant. So Heather wrote a post not too long ago about the best restaurants for fireworks viewing at Disney World, and I will include a link to that in the show notes, but at Epcot, the list includes La Hacienda de San Angel. I know I'm not saying that with the correct accent. De San Angel? Angel? I don't know. And Tokyo Dining and Spice Road Table, Monsieur Paul, Rose and Crown. So there's lots of different places that you can go at Epcot if you don't want to just find a place to sit down. The recommendation is to make your reservation for about 60 to 90 minutes before Illuminations begins. And then when you check in, you need to request a table with a view, but there's no guarantee you're going to get it. Usually it's going to require you to wait longer than if you don't want a fireworks view table. And the restaurants have different levels of views. You know, some are going to be more obstructed than others. And so your mileage may vary depending on the restaurant and the table that you get. But that's certainly an option. But you could also just find a spot. That's almost always what I do. And so I just don't generally recommend the Illumination Sparkling Dessert Party for that reason, because I don't think you need it. And then over at Hollywood Studios, we have sort of a random dessert parties that pop up there. So Hollywood Studios doesn't have regular fireworks right now. That, you know, like, it's not a predictable thing like it is at Epcot and Magic Kingdom, but they do have special fireworks. So they have had Frozen fireworks in the summers the last 2 years, and during Star Wars weekends they've had Star Wars fireworks, and then they also have Osborne Lights or Christmas Lights. This is their last year, unfortunately, and they do have dessert parties related to that. So every time a Hollywood Studios dessert party pops up, it is the most amazing thing to me, because they basically, each one's been a little bit different, but they give you like seating at the lights or a show, and they give you cupcakes and things like that. And it never, ever, ever seems worth it. And I never quite get it. And so basically every part of these dessert parties at Hollywood Studios can be done a la carte without much trouble at all. So for instance, if it includes specialty cupcakes, it's usually the same cupcakes that are at almost every quick service at Hollywood Studios. Once the Frozen package included last year, it included priority seating at the sing-along, which you could totally do on your own. And, you know, you could get a Fastpass Plus at least to go to that show. So I never really quite get it. Osborne Lights seating, you know, Osborne Lights is an entire street that you can walk through. And so I don't understand the point of having the seating when it's nice to just go and walk through it and experience it. Of all the dessert parties, these are the ones I sort of understand the least and could never justify spending money on. So my suggestion for Hollywood Studios type dessert parties is just to do everything a la carte on your own. I don't have another alternative that I would suggest for that, but I think you won't have any problem doing that by yourself. So let's talk, now that I've gotten that out of my system, let's talk about some news that popped up this week, and there were at least a couple of doozies. Okay, the big one, first one, is that Soarin' is going to be closed from January 4th through summer 2016. This was major. I know it's been rumored for a while. I try not to pay attention to the rumors. People publish rumors all the time. If I believe them all, it would be a mess, but this one is one that was rumored, and it turns out that it's true. So what they are doing with Soarin' is they are adding another theater, and I think they're changing the queue. They're changing the show. It's going to be Soarin' Around the World. The movie will be digitized. So there's a lot going on. I just had hoped they would be able to do it without so much interruption, but it's going to be closed for at least 5 months, I think. But when it reopens, it'll be roughly the same time that the new Frozen attraction opens. So that's sort of a lot. Like, you're not going to have much, you know, the first 5 months of the year, but then you're going to have these two sort of, you know, main attractions. So next summer will be a great time to go to Epcot, but between January and then, you know, not as much to do. Second piece of news is that the Minnie's meal at Hollywood and Vine is not going to be year round. So during the holidays, it was announced, I think a couple months ago, that they were going to offer dinner at Hollywood and Vine with Minnie and pals. And it was going to be just a holiday dine sort of thing. But then they announced that this is going to be a more permanent offering. So even after the holidays, Minnie and pals will be there. It won't be holiday dine, obviously, but they're going to be there. So Hollywood and Vine is a little bit confusing to understand. So breakfast and lunch there have Disney Junior characters, and dinner will have Minnie and pals, but the Fantasmic dining package is only available with lunch and dinner. So previously, I always suggested to people that they, if you like Disney Junior characters, to do lunch Fantasmic dining package, because you get food, Disney Junior characters, and great seating for Fantasmic. So now my suggestion at dinner is going to be very similar, because Minnie and pals will be there. So you get food, Minnie and pals, and Fantasmic dining package. For people that are going in the next couple of months, this is a complete side note. There have been some schedule changes for Fantasmic, and a lot of the Hollywood and Vine dinner times are running very close to the Fantasmic times now, which is very odd. And I wish I had an answer to that, but you might want to call Disney and just ask them about that. For instance, a person on my Facebook page has a 6:20 Fantasmic dining package dinner, and then at 7 o'clock is Fantasmic. So I don't understand that. Normally the Fantasmic reservations are much earlier and will give you plenty of time. But just a heads up, something to be aware of. Another new thing that popped up this week is that Amazon Prime is now offering same day delivery in Orlando. Now, I've had this in Dallas for a while, and I love Amazon. I use their 1 hour delivery, same day delivery, you know, 2 day delivery. And so now I'm excited that it's going to be available in Orlando. So the idea is that you can search for products on Amazon.com, and you can narrow your search down to just same day items, because the local Orlando warehouse only carries so many things. And if you're a Prime member, then you can have them delivered for free the same day. As long as your order is in by noon, then you'll get your items delivered by 9 p.m. Now, there's been some confusion about this, and I have never done this in real life because it was just announced this week, but on my upcoming trip, I can give it a try. The zip code finder on the Amazon website, I put in the zip code that is for most of the Disney World resorts, and it said, yes, we ship there. And then when readers were putting in their specific hotel's address, it was saying it doesn't ship there. So we'll have to see how this works out. It's definitely in Orlando, but we need to see how it works out at the Disney World resorts. But if you're staying outside of Disney World resorts, like if you're staying offsite, I'm sure that the service is available to you, and it might be even easier than if you're at a Disney World resort. But anyway, that's a great grocery item, you know, just to have them bring a few things because it's free. You know, if all you want is some granola bars and a case of water, as long as it's a $35 minimum, then you can have it that day, and it's pretty easy to do. So I have a post called 8 Ways to Get Groceries for Your Trip, and Amazon is one of those. So I'll link that in the show notes so you can see all the options and pick the one that makes the most sense for you. We have a couple of things in the World Showcase that have changed. First of all, the Moroccan Entertainment has left, and I cannot pronounce it. I've never known how to pronounce it, so I'm not even going to try. But basically, it was the musical act there that had replaced Moroccan, and they're gone. they haven't been there that long, but they're gone. And now there's a new musical act, which I also cannot pronounce, and they are there through January 2nd. So it's like a limited time sort of thing. And after that, I don't know what's going to happen. But right now, that is an entertainment change in the Moroccan section. And then the Railroad, that's in the Germany section of the World Showcase, is open again. It was closed for a while. They're trying to fix it so that the trains can run more consistently on an ongoing basis. And so hopefully it's working better than it used to, but it's worth a stop. So if you're trying to figure out things that you want to do in the World Showcase, I do recommend stopping by the Miniature Railroad and the Germany section. I love it, but I happen to really like small things. I think it's just so cute. A couple more things. So the Disney Parks blog posted an entire post about a new Design Your Own Magic Band thing that is coming to the Space Mountain gift shop. And they deleted the post shortly after, so it's not clear what's happening. But basically what I think happened is that they meant for it to go up when that shop was open and ready for this new service, and it's not ready, so they pulled it. So I'm going to say coming soon, hopefully pretty soon, you're going to be able to design your own magic bands at the Space Mountain gift shop. So the way that it works, according to their original post that went up, was that you go in and you choose your base color of your magic band, and it's all the same colors that we're familiar with. Like, people that are staying on site have to choose a color, but also purple is an option. And then you choose from 40 graphics that they have available that you want to have printed on your magic band. And some of those designs that you get to choose from are exclusive to this shop, and you won't be able to get those designs anywhere else. And then you can optionally have your name added to it. The pricing was between $21.95 and $29.95. I think $21.95 is if you don't have your name, and $29.95 is if you do. So that is coming soon. It doesn't appear to be there just yet, but if you're, you know, planning to go, you know, a couple months out, then that might be something you could plan on for your trip. Once it's open, I will let you know. And then finally, the Skipper Canteen restaurant. It's a Jungle Cruise themed restaurant that is coming to Magic Kingdom. It has been slated as coming this year, but no date has ever been given. And so according to some cast members, because they are now hiring for this location, and the cast members have said they expect it to open just before Christmas. So, you know, nothing definite, nothing official, but some cast members have said that that is what they expect because they have been hired to work there. So I think that will wrap up all the news items for this week. I always do a feature company, and today I'm just going to take an opportunity to make that feature company myself, because I rarely promote my own stuff. And so I wanted to just remind you that I do have an ebook on the site, and it is geared towards first timers who are overwhelmed. And if that happens to fit you and where you're at in your planning process right now, then feel free to get the ebook, because it's like a Cliff's Notes version of Disney World planning. So once you read that, you'll have a good solid basis, and you can then, you know, branch out and learn more if you want to. If not, it should be enough to help you get your plan together. And the ebook actually comes with a worksheet you can fill out so that you can put all your plans on one sheet of paper. And it also has maps for all the parks that print on one piece of paper each. And it tells you, it's color coded to indicate when you should go on the rides according to how busy they are. And also has recommended fireworks viewing spots and parade viewing spots and things like that. So everything I've ever wanted to know on one piece of paper, I fit into these maps. And so those come as like a bonus item with the ebook. So that is for that. And then a quick tip of the day, and my son is going to love this. My son is a bit of a photography nerd, and he is always irritated on our Disney World trips because people have their flashes on. And so the tip today is to turn your flash off on your camera by default. And if you need it, in the rare case that it's actually going to help you, then you can manually go and turn it on. So what happens during Disney World trips is a lot of people have their cameras, whether it's your phone or, you know, a camera, and they have the flash turned to auto, and then the flash goes off and it just washes out the photos. It doesn't do anything. If you're taking a picture of the castle and it's, you know, 50 feet away, the little flash light is not going to help. And then in fact, it will make your photos worse. So don't do that. Make sure that you are turning it off because it'll look better without it. And, you know, we're not using old film anymore. So take lots of pictures. For every one picture that I post online, I have 100 more that I didn't post. So, you know, don't be stingy. Take lots and lots of pictures, but the flash is probably not going to improve their quality. I think that is going to wrap up episode 113. For more information on the show, you can visit the show notes in your podcasting app or www.prepschool.com/episode113. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.